Conference muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cofinimmo full year results 2013, presented by Mr. Jean-Edouard Carbonel. For the first part of this call, let me remind you that all participants will be on listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. The number of questions per participant is limited to three. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Jean-Edouard Carbonel. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, good morning to all participants. Thank you for joining this call. Around the table here we have Xavier Denis, our CEO, Marc Hellemans, our CFO, Ingrid Darden, who is responsible for treasury, Stéphanie Lempereur, who is responsible for consolidation reporting and corporate finance, and of course, Valérie Kibieta, investor relations, and Hélène Gros will be here shortly. We might also be joined later on by Françoise Roll. You have the full team, and we are going to walk you through a presentation and then answer your questions. Highlights on page four of the slideshow. Hopefully, you have that on the screen in front of you. We believe that 2013 shows a solid performance for our company. We have a net current result of 6.78 per ordinary share, excluding IAS 39. It's slightly above our forecast of 6.74, which was revised when we placed the treasury shares in March 2013. NAV is at 91.8. This is 7% above the beginning of the year. Like-for-like rental growth of 1.7%, driven by indexation but also by new leases. We will see later on that we performed well on letting space in the Brussels office market. Operating margin is on the rise at 85.6 versus 84.9. We have a decrease in the fair value of the portfolio by 0.8%, which is mainly due to the office buildings which require renovation in the coming years, and we will go through the list later on. During the year, we managed the balance sheet actively by resigning new credit lines and placing two bonds. The debt maturities were refinanced up to June 2015. That means 18 months in advance. We also raised equity for an amount of 136 million, of which part from the optional dividend and part from the placement of treasury shares back in March last year. As a result, the debt ratio fell by one percentage point. Whilst we were doing that, we continued our growth, especially in the healthcare segment, with extensions and developments in Belgium and France for 41 million. We further invested in the Dutch real estate healthcare market with three new acquisitions after the first one, which took place in 2012. Regarding offices, two important events of last year. First, this is the new works that was started for the Livingstone 1 in the beginning of the year, conversion into apartments. There we have already today 50% of the units which are sold. Second was the start of the conversion of the Woluwe 34, which started in the middle of 2013 and where 74% of the units are already sold or reserved. Regarding the Science 15, we expect to receive the permit very shortly. This will then be announced in a different communication than the one of the financial results. This is a project which then will need to be commercialized, obviously. It's good that we can do that with the possibility to actually deliver a true project to the future user of that building. Regarding the portfolio, on page five, you can see that the offices represent 46%, the healthcare 37%, and the distribution network 16% of total portfolio. France is 16%, Netherlands 5%, and Belgium remains the bulk of our geographic spread. Regarding the unrealized gain and losses, -0.78%. As you can see, it's really the offices that have suffered. Again, this relates mostly to buildings which will face a renovation phase in the coming years, but which in total represent only 15% of the office portfolio alone. Net yield of our portfolio, or cap rate if you prefer, 6.55%. Again, those who follow our company can see that the direct costs are standing much higher for offices than for the other segments. Residual lease term on the following page remains at 11.6 years, relatively stable compared to end 2012, and certainly above most continental European peers. The occupancy rate at 95.4%, stable. The main tenants on page seven, AB InBev, Belgian public sector, Korian and Medica, which have announced their merger, so they will become the number one after they complete this merger, standing at 17%. Harmonia, AXA, we'll talk about AXA later on, the international public sector, and Orpea, MAF Senior Assist. We see a lot of activity in the segment of healthcare operators, especially in France, with these companies growing, becoming quite large in size. For instance, Orpea is now as large as the historic lead of the French healthcare, Générale de Santé, and Korian Medica will be even larger when they complete their merger. In a nutshell, I would say that Cofinimmo has had solid operating performance during 2013. We will see in more detail the figures with Marc in a minute. It includes good control on costs, especially direct and indirect costs, which have decreased significantly. That is, of course, the basis for the stronger operating margin. I think the like-for-like rental growth is very decent at 1.7%. I will now ask Xavier to present the portfolio and come back in the presentation for the forecast.
Yes, good morning. I'll talk about the operational events of 2013, talk about the portfolio, the investments we've done in healthcare, the Brussels office market, our renovation and reconversion projects, and I will finish off with the office portfolio and our letting activity during the year. On slide nine, if we look at the evolution of the portfolio, we've seen a growth of around 1.2%. How do we explain that? We explain it mainly by acquisitions in the healthcare segment, by some disposals, mainly apartments. You know that we've been converting office buildings into apartments, and the sale of those apartments is obviously leading to disposals of around 20 million euro. One last element maybe to mention is the change in investment value. Just as a reminder for the redevelopment projects, the structural value of the project before we start on-site hasn't changed. What has changed is the residual lease length that is reducing, therefore, the rent that we are getting is basically coming in deduction of the value of our project. That's what explains the 20 million of change in investment value. Now on slide 10, investment in the healthcare segment, 3 investments in the Netherlands, 1 in Rijswijk, where we've purchased a building let to Bergman Clinics for a bit more than 3 million euro and a double net equivalent initial yield of 7.8%. Another project in the Netherlands with Bergman in Ede for a total budget of around 3.5 million euro and an initial rental yield of 7.8% as well. And the third one was a new tenant called Equipe Zorgbedrijven, and that's also for an initial rental yield of 7.5%. So let's say in line with what we've done with Bergman, but the good element there is that we've got a new tenant which will give us new growth opportunities in this segment. So that was for the Netherlands. If we look on page 11 at the organic growth of our portfolio, this represents roughly 41 million euro, mainly by extensions and greenfield projects. You've seen some pictures there, basically 2 in Belgium, 1 in France. But this is really, apart from the Netherlands, another big opportunity for us to grow the portfolio, and that's via organic growth. Now the office market in Brussels. 4 graphs on your slide. Just to say that the rental level is stable, nothing new there. The vacancy rate has been reducing over the past 3 years, but is still at an historically fairly high level of 11%. Now the good news, the office project pipeline has dried up quite considerably and is at an historical low, and another good element for the market is the reconversion of existing office buildings. Over the last 5 years we've been reconverting, when I say we, it's the market of course, reconverting around 500,000 square meters of office buildings into mainly residential. That represents a third of the vacancy. So over the last 5 years, a third of the market vacancy has been converted into residential. Now the next page, the office renovations and reconversion project. This represents, as Jean said, around 15% of the office portfolio. At the global portfolio level, it represents roughly 6%. It means that from now until roughly 2020, we'll be working on the 6% of the global portfolio to redevelop office buildings into either residentials. We are already busy with that, with the Livingstone 1 and the Woodway 34. Jean has talked about that. Then we have mixed and office projects. The Livingstone 2 is on site. We should be finalizing the signature of the contract with a single tenant over the next weeks, maybe months, but we think mostly weeks. And we have the project Science 15 that was vacated by the European Commission at the end of last year. We believe that we will get planning consent during Q1, and we will then be in a lot better position to lease the building to either a single tenant or a multi, but obviously with preference for a single tenant. The AXA building, for those of you that were at the Investor Day of Cofinimmo, you visited the site. What we can say at this stage is that we've managed to sign a lease addendum with AXA to let us redevelop part of the site, the Ten Reuken plot of land. That's something that we will launch this year. This lease addendum also foreseen that AXA will have an option to extend the current contract at the end of the existing contract for a short period of time. We'll see if they need that option, but basically they've been asking for it, so we think that there is a reasonable probability that they might use it. And for the general project, as I said during the Investor Day, I think what we need now is to carry on developing the options we have for the redevelopment and have a new regional government in place to start a proper discussion around this very important project at the regional level. Now, if we move to the slide 14, office portfolio management, couple of elements. The first element is that we've had a very busy leasing activity in 2013 with a bit more than 100,000 square meters, representing above 50 million of guaranteed net revenues. In terms of tenants, the public tenants represent 35% of the office portfolio, so that's also very important to us, and as Jean said, the like-for-like rental growth of around 1.7%. With inflation being at 1.3, so we think that's also a pretty strong result for the leasing activity of our team. I'll hand over to Marc.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to talk about the results themselves and the financial events of the year. First of all, the gross rental revenues. We record in 2013 a positive like-for-like rental growth at 1.7%, mainly thanks to indexation and new lettings. These new lettings are compensating, more than compensating, the renegotiation and the departures. You can see that on all the segments we have a positive like-for-like growth for 2013. Regarding the increase of gross rental revenues themselves, you see an improvement of 2.7%, where it includes, of course, this like-for-like change, but also the net effect from investment activities in 2013, a positive impact of 4.3, compensated by disposals 0.9 and development that I put in project for 1.4 million. On page 17, the key figures for 2013. Difficult to compare 13 with 12, as you have to remind that I have to remind you that in 2012 there was indemnity on the Livingstone building paid by Belfius that was spread on 21 months, and economically 9 months would have been taken in 2013. If you put back these 9 months in 2013, the comparison then gives a positive an improvement of property result by 1.9%, an improvement of the operating result by 3.5%, and on the net current result of 119.2%, an improvement of 6%. The result of on the portfolio is negative in 2013 for an amount of 46 million. It consists of two elements. One of them is well known. It is the appraisal of the portfolio, which gives a loss of 26 million in 2013. And the rest is coming from the impairment of the goodwill on the Pubstone portfolio. We have an impairment in 2013 of 21 million, but at the same time we have a positive valuation gain, latent gain on the portfolio of 1.3 million. So this impairment, I would say, has nothing to do with the way the appraiser is looking at the portfolio. It is more a technical impairment that can be explained by the fact that we completely review the value in use model to test this goodwill. And on this value in use model, two parameters were changed. First, the WACC, which went up to 6.5%. And secondly, we also increase in the model the assumption for future renovation, thanks to the history we have on the portfolio the last 5 years. I have to remind you also that the goodwill, which consists of transfer tax and mainly deferred tax, this goodwill was not impact by the fact that in 2011, when Pepstone became Sikafi, we wrote back a provision for deferred tax for 40 million, which came in positive in the result on the portfolio in 2011. At the same time, it would have been ideal to impair the goodwill, but for accounting reason, we couldn't do so. So the negative impact of 13 is, I would say, a consequence also of the gain we took in 2011. On the KPIs and ratio on 2013, you see that we have very good results as the operating costs on average value of the portfolio stands at 83 basis points, historical lowest point, I think, operating margin at 85.6. These two KPIs record excellent figures thanks to structural economies that were achieved in the company, in the structural cost, but also in the operating cost in the portfolio. The cost of debt stands at 3.9%. And another important element of the results are the decline of the debt ratio and LTV by 1% respectively, both under the 50% objective. On page 18, the figures per share, the net current result stands at 6.78 versus a forecast of 6.74. The comparison again with 2012 should take into account the Livingstone Belfius indemnity, and the difference, if you spread the indemnity, is reduced by 27 cents. So you then have only a difference of 29 cents between 13 and 12 that can be mainly explained by the disposal of treasury shares, where the objective was to reduce the LTV of the company. The NAV stands at 91.79, an increase of roughly 6 euros versus 2012. If you do a quick roll forward of the NAV, you see that actually you have more or less the net rent results that impact positively the NAV, while the negative impact coming from the result on the portfolio is compensated by positive revaluation of the financial instruments that goes directly to equity. Page 19, the management of the balance sheet. We have been very active in the first part of 2013 as we raised in total 510 million on the debt side and 137 million on the equity side. On the debt side, let me remind you that we refinance 5 bilateral bank credit lines for an amount of 270 million. We placed a convertible for 190 million. And we also did in the second part of the year a non-convertible bond for 50 million. Equity, you know already that we placed these treasury shares end of March for 93 million, and we also recorded a very good success in the stock dividend, we raised on that occasion 44 million. As I said before, debt ratio, thanks to that equity placement, was reduced by 1% at 48.9, and hedging position that were put in place provide also limited exposure to an interest rate rise, as the sensitivity is very limited in the coming months and years. Dividend distribution that will be proposed at the next annual general meeting will be, as already announced and foreseen, 6 euros per share gross. The financial debt, page 22, you see that the cost of debt stands at 3.92%, which is an increase by 10 basis points versus 2012. This increase can be explained firstly by the fact that the new credit lines are more expensive than the old ones, but also thanks to the restructuration we did and the unwind of floor we did in mid-2013, we could reduce this cost of debt. The covenants, you see sufficient rooms versus our covenants debt ratio and ICR. Average maturity on the debt of 3.8 years. And it's a S&P rating BBB-, long-term, A3 short-term. The debt portfolio on page 23 shows that there is an excellent diversification between the different sources on the capital market and on the bank facilities. We have also 9 different banks in this bank in this portfolio, a debt of 1.7 billion and 600 million available to finance the pipeline, but also to refinance the lines that are getting matured in 2014. The debt maturities table on page 24 shows that the objective of refinancing 18 months in advance that was put last year was achieved. We have only 100 million, 120 million to be refinanced for 2015. And the rest is pretty well spread until 2020. Lastly, on the debt, you see a graph on page 25 showing the exposure of the debt portfolio to interest rate evolution. And we see that even if there would be an increase of 50 basis points in the interest rate, there would be no significant change in the financial charges for the coming year. I will give the word to Jean now for the outlook.
Thank you, Mark. Those of you who have attended our Investor Day are well aware of our investment priorities. The pipeline is shown on page 27. It consists of offices and healthcare. Regarding offices, the main project today is the Livingstone 2, which is underway, and that will occupy at least the first two quarters of this year. In 2015, the main project is the Science 15. Once we have the permit, the marketing of the building will start, and hopefully we will be able to reach a level of comfort as to leasing the building that will allow us to launch the construction in 2015 and 16. Regarding healthcare, the total is 69 million spread over the 3 years, and I remind you that all these healthcare projects are 100% pre-let. Excuse me. Forecast for 2014. Well, first of all, a guidance on the net current result per share excluding IAS 39. We see that at 6.61 euro versus 6.78 in 2013, so a decrease of 2.5%. Two main reasons. One is that we are going to work with a somewhat lower leverage. You've seen that we have decreased the leverage by 1 percentage point. Second, we will have less indexation in the 2014 year versus 2013. We will further elaborate on this forecast, if you wish, during the question time. Regarding guidance for the dividend for 2014, well, the board of directors who met yesterday afternoon gives a guidance of 5.50 euro per ordinary share, payable in June 2015, which is 8% below the proposed dividend for 2013, and is a level much better aligned with the cash flow per share estimated for 2014. This dividend represents a yield of 6.23% relative to the average share price of 2013, and a yield gross of withholding tax of nearly 6% on the last published NAV, that of end 2013. At that level, this dividend yield is also fairly higher than the average of the Eurozone, which stood at 4.5% at end 2013. This is, I think, the end of our presentation, and I'll be very glad with my colleagues to take your questions.
The operator could open
the question and answer session now.
Yes, indeed I can. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now take your questions. Please press 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. That's 01 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. Our first question is from Annelies Vermeulen with JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, Jean and team, for the presentation. I just have a couple of questions. So touching on your point on the indexation just now, on the like-for-like rental growth, can you give any guidance for that for this year? So do you expect it to remain in positive territory, and how much of that will come from the indexation?
Well, indexation, as Jean said, is expected to be lower than between 1.2 and 1.5. I think a good estimate would be 1.3 for 2014. So as you seen, as you saw on the like-for-like for 2013, it was an indexation on average by 2%. So you have a decrease of 0.7% expected in the forecast.
Mm-hmm.
Another element on the forecast, I think you have to take into account that still the objective of the company is to keep the LTV below 50%. It was an assumption that was made for stock dividends also in 2014, which more or less explained the difference between actual figures in 2013 and forecast of 14.
Okay, thank you. The other question I had was on the 184 million investment pipeline over the next few years. Can you talk a little bit about how that will predominantly be funded, and is any of it dependent on making disposals in the coming years?
Well, in our long-term plan, we see obviously some disposals from the sale of apartments.
Mm-hmm.
We see also potentially a few other disposals. We have this expectation that the stock dividend will bring us more equity every year, given the success ratio we had in previous 3 years. And there will be, of course, a part that will be financed by debt, additional debt.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next in line is Herman van der Loos with Petercam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Herman van der Loos, Petercam. Thank you for the presentation. I've got at this stage two questions. The first one is on the dividend. If I count well, and I base on your guidance of 661 for next year, and I deduct the non-cash items of 150, it comes to €5 per share, so the dividend is still not covered. So why don't take you immediate pain, I would say, €5 per share for the dividend for next year? That's my first question. And my second question, I'm still amazed when I see the decentralized portfolio, office portfolio, that doesn't go well in terms of occupancy. Why are there no more reconversions? Is that technical issues, or is that the shaky profitability of reconversions? Thank you very much.
Let's first start with the second question. I think the limitation is that not all buildings can be converted to apartments. It is dependent on the location. There are certain streets where you wouldn't like to have an apartment, and also the structure of the building sometimes is not fit for that. It's the floors are too deep, not enough light in the middle. Mm-hmm. Xavier,
and one main element, Herman, is that the average age of our portfolio doesn't allow us to basically redevelop everything in apartments, because the quality is still fairly high on average, which means that what we need to be doing is be even more active on the leasing side. When we look at potential reconversion, it's for buildings that are reaching the end of their, commercial life, and that will need to be either redeveloped in office or maybe, and that's a scenario that has been used because it's extremely valuable for these old structure, is to reconvert in apartments. But it's not something that can be applied to buildings that still have another 10, 15 years of commercial life. I think that's as simple as that. And the other reasons are the reasons that Jean has been giving, and that's that we cannot build apartments everywhere. We need to build apartments where we know that the demand will be at the appropriate level to make the project successful, which I think we've proven on the two projects we've launched. And in the future, I believe that it will always be a scenario that we will be looking at. But is it something that will represent, a big share of our future project? I don't think so. I think today, if I were to give you an idea, I would say maybe another two projects over the next 5-7 years. That would be my guess today.
Okay, so no reconversions in the near future. Huh?
I didn't say no, Herman. I said another two probably over the next 5-7 years.
Okay.
Because we've identified, and I think we've talked about it during the Investor Day. I think we've screened the whole portfolio, and if you look at the commercial life of the various office buildings we have in portfolio, and if we look at the micro location of these offices, and if we look at the profitability of the various scenarios for the redevelopment of the buildings that will need to be redeveloped, I would say another two projects in the short medium term.
Okay.
Regarding guidance on dividend for this year. So you said, why not 5 euros? Well, because we decided it was 5.50.
But
the cash flow is something that has to be examined a bit carefully, because after all, it's the global cash position of the company which is important when you compare the cash out versus the earnings, whatever line you take. In fact, what is important is our most clear criteria is that we should not borrow to pay dividends. And the non-cash item, as you correctly stated, is 150 per share current. If we have a 50% gearing or slightly less, that means that as long as we don't pay over 5.75, so the 5, which is the cash flow, plus half, 50% of the non-cash item, we don't borrow to pay out the dividend. Of course, there is the other aspect of the balance sheet with the portfolio result and the movements in the portfolio. But basically, that's a quick and simple rule, that not more than half of the non-cash item may be distributed if we want to keep the leverage where it is at around 50%.
Okay. May I ask just one last question on the Souverain, the AXA building?
Sure.
On Ten Röken, so we are talking about a small residential project that will be completed somewhere in 2016, and will be disposed to a property developer, will be disposed à la pièce.
Yes, that's correct. So we now have the possibility to develop Ten Röken because it's now out of the main lease with AXA. And this year we will launch the project, which means asking for planning consent and then develop residential and sell apartments à la pièce, as you said. So
how much size would be, how much units average roughly?
That is something that will need to be discussed with the local authorities when we ask the building permit.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And next in line is Koen Overlaat Michiels with KBC Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Okay, first of all, thank you very much for the presentation and the clear answers given already. I had only one question remaining, and that's with regard to the portfolio revaluations. So this year we had roughly 0.8% negative revaluation. Could you provide some more color going forward? So will it remain for next year 0.8 and then clearly bottoming out, or will it already be bottoming out next year, so coming in roughly at 0.6 and next year 0.2% negative? Can you provide some color? Thank you.
Well, this is of course a difficult question, because first of all, in the hands of the valuers. I would say that on the buildings that will face renovation, except for the property at Boulevard du Souverain, which is still leased for, as Xavier said, another 3 years, possibly even 4 years, except for that one, we think that the values are correct in the books to start from and do the refurbishment. For the portfolio of offices which is in operation, the main driver is, of course, the level of rents in the market, the estimated rental value and the reversals that could happen. You know, the reversals in this market are always negative these days. So we could expect that even based on stable yields or cap rates, I should say, there could be some negative in some areas, but not all areas of the portfolio. Regarding the other segments, I'm talking about healthcare and the distribution networks. There we believe that the revaluation will be positive. It will depend essentially on indexation. Whether the cap rates will come down, I'm not that sure. Difficult to say. Very difficult to say. So I think, in a nutshell, the revaluation will remain somewhat negative over at least 2 years, but not dramatically so.
So we have reached somewhat bottom in severe negative revaluations for Cofinimmo.
I can't really comment further. I think I said what we can reasonably forecast for something which is not in our hands, really.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, and we have a follow-up question from Herman van der Loos with Petercam. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, another question on a more metaphysic one. So I would like to say farewell to Mark. Is there something on this front new? Could you expect a new CFO soon? Thank you.
Well, you've heard Mark on the phone, so he's still with us in good shape. And Mark will be with us until mid-March as CFO. We haven't yet found a successor, as it is indicated in the press release. So, Herman, it's still time to send your CV.
I'll do, thank you.
Thank you very much. And there are no further questions in queue. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that you can still ask a question by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. And as there are no further questions, I would like to return the conference call to you, Mr. Jean-Edouard Carbonel.
Well, thank you for attending this conference. And if you have other questions, of course, Valérie, Ellen, and the team here is available. And I wish you a very good day and weekend already. Thanks.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Have a great day.
Thank you, operator.